Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ted Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the Mishnah that we saw back on Yudad Amud Aleph. The Mishnah presents us with two basic problems. One problem is the statement of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. The second problem in the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir's statement. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim's issue, or the issue that it creates in the Mishnah, is that Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim gives us a case where they are burning Basar Kodesh. That was Nitma Bevlada Tuma, which was Tamei from a Rishon Tuma, which means that it was a Sheni Tuma. In Basar Shnitma Be'Ava Tuma. That was Basar that was Tamei from an Ava Tuma, which makes it into a Rishon Tuma. And the Gemara asked the basic question that, well, if you're taking something that's a Rishon Tuma and burning it with something that is a Sheni Tuma, you really haven't done anything to change the status of the Sheni Tuma. Because when it comes into contact with the other Basar, it remains a Sheni Tuma. That's the first problem in our Mishnah. The solution we saw to that yesterday was the possibility that when it says Vlada Tuma, it doesn't mean Vlada Tuma Rishon Tuma, but Vlada Tuma. It really means a Sheni the Tuma. And therefore we're talking about something that's a Rishon Tuma versus a Shlishi the Tuma. But we have to be aware of the fact that there's a problem within Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. That's the first thing. The second thing that's a question to Mishnah is Midivrehem. Rabbi Meir says, from their words, Lamadu, we learn, Shosofim Trumato Raim Tmeah BePesach, that you can burn Trumat Meah im Trumat Tehorah, which normally you couldn't do, on Pesach. So the question the Gemara asked, this is what we left off with yesterday, is Midivrehem Deman. From whose words do we extrapolate or do we learn that information from? So those are the two problems in the Mishnah. And we proposed at least a solution to Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim yesterday, which was that Vlad meant Vlad Vlada Tuma according to Rav Yehuda. And then Midivrehem Lamadnu, towards the end of yesterday's daf, we gave a suggestion that Midivrehem is because Rabbi Meir thinks that our Mishnah is talking about an Ava Tuma Doraita and a Vlada Tuma Dirabanan. And that's why he can learn or extrapolate from the words of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim to the conclusion that he reached. That is because Rabbi Meir is saying, I could take Trumat Torah, Trumat Meah, and I could burn them together. That's taking something that is totally Tamei with something that's totally Tahor, and mixing them together and burning them because I've hit the point of Isur Chametz. I've reached the point where on Pesach I'm going to have to eliminate them. Gemara says, how can I extrapolate that from Chanina Skana Kohanim, or how can I extrapolate that from Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim is talking about something that's Tamei Doraita and Tamei Doraita. And then he says you can elevate that Tuma Doraita, but they're both Tamei to start with. Rabbi Akiva is talking about something that was Tamei Doraita and something that was Pasul Doraita. And we said you can elevate it from Pasul to Tamei. But in all of these instances, we started out with the object being Pasul or Tamei. In this instance, with the case of Rabbi Meir, we're talking about Trumat Torah, completely Tahor Trumat. So how could he ever learn this out of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim or out of Rabbi Akiva? The solution that the Gemara concluded with yesterday was that our Gemara is talking about a case where it's an Av HaTuma Doraita, whereas it's a Vlad HaTuma Dirabanan. That means that the Av HaTuma, for instance, the Sheretz, it's something that is Tamei Mina Torah, which is an Av HaTuma. The meat, Basar Kodesh, that comes into contact with that is a Rishon LeTuma. On the other hand, the Vlad HaTuma that we're talking about in our Mishnah is not produced through levels Deoraita from the Torah. Rather, it's produced because of an imposition Dirabanan. Rashi says that imposition was a case where mashkim, liquids, came into contact with a kli, and since liquids, when they come into contact with a kli, generally, min haTorah have no impact, because liquids, foods, cannot be an av hatuma. So food can't be an av hatuma, it can't make a rishon hatuma, therefore, it cannot be mitamei kelim. That's the basic problem with the ochel, because it's ochel starts as a rishon hatuma, can never be mitamei kelim. But the Rabbanan imposed, or they have a gzerah, that all liquids are mitamei kelim. If they come to a contact with a keli, if they are tamei, they're mitamei to be a rishon lituma. Why? Because there is an exception to that rule about liquids and food being an avatuma. We said that it can't be anywhere. The one exception to that is when we're talking about the roke, the spit, the urine, all the liquids that emanate from a zav, a zava, a nida, all of those liquids have a status of an avatuma. Since there are those liquids that are an avatuma, the chamim were gozer on all liquids as if they are avatuma. Therefore, if they come into contact with the kli, they make it into a rishon lituma. But that's only rabbinic in nature. So what we had here was you had liquids that came into contact with the kli. That kli is now tamei, a rishon lituma. It touches basar, it makes that basar into a sheni lituma. It's a sheni lituma, mi dirabanan. Mi doraita from the Torah, it's completely tahor. And yet, we're allowing you to burn the two pieces of meat together. So you see, I take something that's Tamei min haTorah with something that's Tahor min haTorah. I put them together. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, now I can get to my conclusion. My conclusion is, I can take Trumat Tamei'ah, Trumat Tahorah, and burn them together. That's where we left off yesterday. Tosafot, the Reed, does not like Rashi's explanation of how the Tumah was a Tumah de Rabbanan, but rather, the reason that it's Tumah de Rabbanan over here can simply be because it's Ochel Metame Ochel. That ain't Ochel Metame Ochel. That's one way to get it just be the Rabbanan, because we saw yesterday, in the beginning of the Daf, that according to Abaye and Rav Adar Ba'avo, there's a way to make Ochel be Metame Ochel Midoraita. But for Ravina Mishmei de Ravo, who says food items are never Metame other food items, then again, we're talking about simply an issue of Tumah Midirabanan. Or, we're going to see at the end of today's Daf, there's another way to create the problem being Tumah Midirabanan. So he disagrees with Rashi's approach of how we get to Tumah Midirabanan, but the basic concept is in place. So now, again, the question of what Rabbi Hanina said, as well as what did Rabbi Meir say, the two are correlated. And since they're correlated, the solution to the Mishnah now has to look on a broader perspective. So we had this one solution which suggested the Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim is talking about a case where the Tumah is Deoraita for one of them and Derabanan for the other. And that will be also the solution to the problem in the Mishnah why Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim is telling us that you can elevate the Tumah. Doesn't matter that it's a Rishon, a Sheni, because you're talking about a Rishon Deoraita versus a Sheni Derabanan. So there is an elevation of Tumah. Forget about having to do Vlad Vlad. So that's the answer to Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim, the problem in the Mishnah. And that also helps us understand how Rabbi Meir extrapolated from Hanina's Kanan Kohanim to his case of Trumat Torah and Trumat Me'ah. That was the last case that we left off with. We have Rabbi Yehuda from yesterday's Daf who says, no, that we're talking about here a Vlad Vlad Tumah. We're talking about a double derivative of Tumah. We're talking about a Rishon and a Shlishi, and that's all Doraita. And that's what we start with here. On the beginning of Tetvav Amud Aleph, on the second line down, Amresh Lakish Mishurim Bar Kapara Matnitan Ba'ava Tumah De'oraita VeVlada Tumah De'oraita. Our Mishnah in Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim is talking about a case where it's Ava Tumah De'oraita and Vlada Tumah De'oraita. Unlike what we suggested in the yesterday's Daf, that we're talking about a case where it's one of them is De'oraita, one is the Rabbanan. Resh Lakish says no, both of them are De'oraita. Now, if he says both of them are Doraita, how do we solve the problem of Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim? You must say, like Rav Yehuda said yesterday, the case of Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim is not talking about Vlada Tumah, but rather about Vlad Vlada Tumah. And that's why there's a chidush within the position of Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim. Umay mi divreihem. But then, we have the problem that's left over is Rabbi Meir. When he says mi divreihem, who's he speaking about? He certainly can't learn it out of Rabbi Hanina's Kanan Kohanim or Rabbi Akiva. Both of them have both items be problematic before we start. And Rabbi Meir is talking about a case where you're talking about Trumat Torah and Trumat Tmeyat. You cannot extrapolate from either one of them to his position. So what is Midivrehem? Midivrei Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua. He learns that out from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Somebody wants to know, hi Rabbi Yeshua. Which Rabbi Yeshua is he exactly learning this from? Ilema ha Rabbi Yeshua. It's from this Rabbi Yeshua Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Chavit shel Trumah. The barrel of Trumah, shnolad basafek Tumah. That all of a sudden has a problem. It has a safek Tumah associated with it. Rashi says, what does that mean? Shnolad basafek Tumah? Sheira kagon shenichnas adam tamei l'sham. Safek nagaba, safek lo naga. Yet a person who was tamei entered into the area and were uncertain as to whether he touched the barrel or he didn't touch the barrel. So that'll be the safek. You have a safek Tumah over here. Tosafot. And the beginning of the Amud Bet here says he doesn't think that's the right way to explain the Safek here. Rather, the Safek is that you have two barrels in the house, and somebody Tameh came into the house and possibly touched one of those two barrels. So now we have a Safek Tumah by both of them. They're both Safek Tumah. And the reason Tosafot wants to do this is to make it dissimilar to Sota. Because if it's similar to Sota, we know what the answer to the question about Safek Tumah is. If it's Safek Tumah Birshuta Yachid, Tameh. Safek Tumah Birshuta Rabim, Tahor. So in the case that Rashi sets up, we have an answer to our question, what you do with something that's Safek Tumah. So he has to create a case that's dissimilar to Sota, which is a case where the two barrels are both Sfekot, and that's different than the case of Sota, and that's why we have a Safek Tumah over here. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Imaitam Munechet Bakoma Torfa, if it was left in a place that was exposed, a place where it could become Tamei, you have to now cover it up and protect it. And if it was open, you should cover it. It was in a place that was safeguarded against Tumah, you should expose it to the possibility of getting Tameh. If it was covered, he should expose it. So the machloket over there between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yoshua has to do with the question of one's responsibility vis-a-vis Truma. You have an obligation when it comes to Truma Tehora to protect it from becoming Tmeya. That is an obligation because it says it Mishmeret Trumotai. You have to be Shomer the Truma. The question is, when I have a Safek Tuma, is that covered by that Pasuk? When the Pasuk says you must guard the Truma, does that apply only to Truma Tehora? Or does that also apply to Truma Tluya or Truma that is Safek? So Rabbi Eliezer says that you have an equal obligation to protect it. This possibility here is that this case is a case of Truma that is possibly Tehora. And since it's possibly Tehora, that's enough to obligate you to guard it against becoming more Tameh or Vadai Tameh. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua believes that there is no such obligation over here. So now, the Gemara is suggesting that from Rabbi Yoshua's statement, we're going to, Rabbi Meir learns to his case over here. So Gemara says, me dummy, how can you compare the cases? How can you compare the cases that Rabbi Yoshua over there says you're allowed to be metameh the Truma? And over here, Rabbi Meir is suggesting that you can be metameh the Truma. They're not the same, because hotam groma be'alma hocho be'adayim. Over there, the only thing that Rabbi Yoshua permits you to do is to expose the Truma to the possibility of Tum'a. He doesn't allow you metameh it be'adayim. He says, I can let you open it up. I can let you place it in a location where Tum'a can get to it. That's groma. That you're allowed to do. But here, Rabbi Meir is making a suggestion that you could actively be mitamei de truma. And that certainly is not something you could extrapolate or you could learn from the position of Rabbi Yoshua. So this can't be the source for Rabbi Meir's position. Elaha Rabbi Yoshua. Maybe it's this Rabbi Yoshua. That's none. Have a Mishnah. Chavit shel truma shenishbira bigat el yona. You have a chavit of truma tehora that breaks. Suddenly it bursts and it's in the upper vat. Vatachtona. The lower vat, after things have been pressed, the lower vat is full of wine, but it's chulin tmeim. The lower vat is full of chulin and our tmeim. Each one independently is okay. Chulin tmeim, there's nothing wrong with it. First can eat that when they are tmei, or if someone's not makpid on eating chulin bitara, you can eat it anytime. That chulin tmeim that's in the lower vat is edible, usable, it's totally fine. The truma in the upper vat is also fine. It's truma tehora, which is permissible for a Kohen to eat or to consume. So each one independently is fine. The problem is that once it breaks in the upper vat, what's going to happen is that all the liquid or all the things that are in the upper vat are going to flow down into the lower vat. The combination of the two is problematic. And that is because when you have truma that combines with chulin, you have something called miduma. Miduma is a mixture of truma and chulin. Again, that's something that we could deal with. That's something that's fine. The problem here is that this chulin is tameim. And if the truma now lands inside of this chulin, it's going to make what we call truma tmeya. Truma tmeya is restricted from being consumed. You can't eat it. You can't do anything with it. The only thing you can do with it is burn it. So now, if I allow this truma to flow down into the chulin down below, I'm going to ruin the truma, and I'm going to ruin the chulin. I'm going to lose everything over here. So what do I do? So mode Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yoshua both agree here. Shebiyachola atzil mimeno revi'it bitara yatzil. If you have the ability to save at least a revi'it log worth of the truma teora, you bring in a barrel, you run around, and you find an empty kli, and you're able to catch a part of it, yetzil, you should do that. That is worthwhile. We'll let everything else go bad, everything else go to waste, as long as you can save at least a revi'it log worth of the truma bitara. Now, v'imlav, if that's not a possibility for you, then what do you do over here? V'le'azomer tered v'titomeh. You'd be inactive. You'd be passive. Passive means you just let it go. You let it go, and everything goes down the drain, bit literally, because everything's going to be lost over here. But don't actively get involved here in order to change the status quo. Rabbi Yeshua Amer, afi tamenu biyad. Yeshua says, no, you should intervene over here. Intervene over here means go bring a barrel. Well, obviously you don't have a tahor barrel, because if you had a tahor barrel, then the previous statement where Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elezer agreed would apply to you, because then you could have collected or via the log bitara, and that would have been fine. So it must be that all you have here are barrels that are tamei, or utensils to catch the truma from above that are tamei. If I go and insert that barrel in there, and I catch the truma, what's going to happen? I'm going to ruin the truma, because it's flowing into a tamei utensil. On the other hand, when it comes to the chulin that's down below, you've actually protected it. That chulin down below now can be used by you and can be utilized and not lost. So that's the question here. Do I allow you to intervene in order to protect the chulin down below? Because I'm going to actively be mitameh the truma, which is not allowed. But on the other hand, if I don't do that, the truma is going to fall into the chulin down below and it's going to become tameh anyway. So my sticking the barrel in there is only doing what's otherwise going to happen anyway to the truma. And if I do that, I protect the chulin down below. So maybe that's worth it. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Afi tamenu biyad. In order to protect the chulin down below, it's worth it to intervene and make this truma torah in tameyah biyad. That's inevitably where it's going to end up anyway. If you don't intervene, it's going to end up down below. Rabbi Elazar says, better to be passive throughout the whole thing. So now, that's the extrapolation of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says here, you see, Rabbi Yeshua says that you can be mitamei truma actively. So too in our case over here, you have to burn the chametz going into Pesach. So too, you can be mitamei the truma Torah mitameya, because inevitably, that's what's going to happen to this truma anyway. It's going to get burnt. So why not burn it and let it become problematic by mixing them together? Where it says, hiochi, if that's the case, haimi divrehem, that's not from their words, they're being in plural, midvarav mi baile, that's from the words of Rabbi Yeshua. This is an extrapolation from Rabbi Yeshua alone. According to Rabbi Elazar, of course you can't make that extrapolation. Rabbi Elazar says you may not intervene. The Gemara says, hochi kamar, what does midivrehem mean? Midivrehem means mimachalokotan shel Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua lamadnu. From this disagreement between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, we learn out this din. Who's the din like? The din is like Rabbi Yeshua, and that's what he's extrapolating. Dekanami. I can prove to you that our Mishnah is talking about that. That Rabbi Meir and our Mishnah is saying, Midivrehem means Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Because, what's the next line in the Mishnah? The next line in the Mishnah is a response from Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says, Enohi min amida. It's not comparable to cases. And then he goes on to say, Umode Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. The Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua agree. Well, Tektani Mode Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, where did that come from? Who brought up Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua? Shmamino, that since Rabbi Yossi's response is about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, that must be the source for Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Meir's position is premised on Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and that's why Rabbi Yossi is answering that Mode Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. In this case, but not in the case that you are speaking about. So now, v'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Arvua. We also have this from Rav Nachman, that matnitan ba'ava tuma do'oraita, v'vlada tuma do'oraita. Our Mishnah in Rav Chanina's Kanakonim is talking about do'oraita levels of tuma, umay midivrehem. So then what is the solution to the problem in Rabbi Meir? Where is he learning it from? Is midivrei Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Yoshua. It's from Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. So now, basically, we have two approaches to the Mishnah. And again, they correlate the answers to the two problems in the Mishnah are correlated or connected, which is one solution, which is Reish Lakish over here, which is also Rav Nachman over here, that the solution to the problem is Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim is talking about a case of Tumah Doraita. How come there's a Chiddush over here that you're allowed to elevate Tumah? That's from Rav Yehuda, which we saw yesterday, which is we're talking about a Vlada Tumah. We're talking about a second derivative Tumah that makes it into a third level Tumah. So you're talking about a Rishon Tumah and a Shlishi Tumah. And those are both Min HaTorah, and that you're allowed to burn together and elevate the Tumah. That's their answer in terms of how do we explain Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. Rabbi Meir says, Midivrehem Lamadnu. So then what do they do about Rabbi Meir, Midivrehem Lamadnu? They say that it has nothing to do with Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim or nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim and Rabbi Akiva are both talking about cases where you're talking either about Tameh or Tameh and Pasul. And you cannot extrapolate to Tohora and Tmeah. So where does he learn that out? He learns that out from Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua tells us in the case of the Gat, in the case of the presses, that you're allowed to intervene to protect the Chulin below by being Mitameh Truma. Why? Because the inevitable outcome here is that Truma will become Tmeah. So I'd like you to accelerate or I'd like to intervene in order to protect that which is below. So to over here, by the Chametz, since they're both the Surim, inevitably this Truma Tohora is going to get burnt. So why does it matter that I put it together with Tmeah now? It should be irrelevant. And that's the way they explain the Mishnah. That's one approach to the Mishnah. There's the other approach to the Mishnah, which was the end of yesterday's daf, which is Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. The Chiddush is that he's talking about an Ava Tumah Deoraita, but a Vlada Tumah Derabanan. And the Chiddush is that something that is Tamei Midoraita, we're allowing you to burn together with something that's Tahor Minatorah. It's only Tamei because the Rabbanan said it was Tamei, but Minatorah, it's totally Tahor. And I allow you to burn those two together. That's the statement of Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. Along comes Rabbi Meir and says, from that I can extrapolate and say that Truma Torah and Tmeyah can be burnt together, because that's exactly what Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim is saying. And therefore, Midivrehem, in that case, is Midivrehem means Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim and also Rabbi Akiva, because both of them are saying that it's a Doraita versus a Tuma Dirabanan. So those are the two approaches that you can have to the Mishnah. One is to say that the Mishnah is all on a Doraita level, and Rabbi Meir says Midivrehem refers to Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer, or to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Doraita with Dirabanan, and therefore we're talking about something that's really Tamei and Tahor Midoraita, and Midivrehem of Rabbi Meir is talking about Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim. Now, the Gemara continues, Eitevei Rova the Rav Nachman. Rova challenged Rav Nachman, who has the same opinion as Reish Lakish. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Eino Nidon Domet Liraya. The cases are not similar. Kishi Idu Rabboteinu Almahe Idu. When our Rabbonon spoke about this, what were they testifying about? Imala Basar Shnit Ma Bevlada Tuma. If it's talking about Basar that became Tamei Bevlada Tuma, Shosofim Otayim Basar Shnit Ma Be'Ava Tuma, that you burn it together with Basar that became Tamei with Ava Tuma, Zetame Vezetame. Those are both Tameim. Imala Shemin Shnifsal B'Tvul Yom. If we're talking about the Shemin, this is Rabbi Akiva's statement that became Pasul because it touched the Tvul Yom. It says Sheni Tuma makes it a Shlish the Tuma. Together with a lamp, or burn it inside of a lamp that is touched or contacted a tamemeit, ze pasul ve ze tamei. Midoraita, both of those are in the world of tuma. Af anu modim b'tshumash nitmeit b'vlada tumash, sofim otoim tshumash nitmeit b'ava tuma. You know, we would have no problem, Rabbi Meir, if you made this statement, you could have made this statement in reference to what Rabbi Hanina said and Rabbi Akiva said, which is that we'll take tuma tmeya. That is Tamei Be'avatuma, and we'll take Chumat Tmeya, that's Tmeya Be'Vladatuma, and we'll burn them together. That's exactly what Rav Hanina Sgan HaKohanim said. Aval Heach Nisraf HaTluya Ima Tmeya. How are you going to burn something that is Safek Tamei Tahor, something that's absolutely Tmeya? And of course, certainly you can't say that you're going to burn something Tahor with something Tmeya. Shema Yavo Eliyahu V'Yitareno. Because maybe Eliyahu Navi will come and tell you that it is completely Tahor. We just quoted a Tosefta. This Tosefta says that Rabbi Yossi's response to Rabbi Meir as to why Rabbi Meir is wrong here is because he does not match up with Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim. He doesn't match up with Rabbi Akiva. His extrapolation is incorrect. It's the question that we had in the Gemara yesterday, at the tail end of yesterday's daf, which is, how does Rabbi Meir ever conclude from Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim, Rabbi Akiva, what he says? It's an improper extrapolation. But what you see from here in this Tosefta is, it's clear that Rabbi Meir's suggestion, when he says Midivrehem, meant Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim and Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Yossi's response is, you're not like Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim, and you're not like Rabbi Akiva. So if Rabbi Yossi is saying to him, you're not like them, that means that Rabbi Meir thought he was, or he was suggesting that he was like them. And that's why this is a problem for Rav Nachman and Reish Lakish. Rav Nachman and Reish Lakish, who both just said that Midivrehem meant Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. If it meant Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua, what's Rabbi Yossi going on about Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim and Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Meir never made the suggestion that he was extrapolating from them. He was learning his din out of Rabbi Yoshua. So why is he answering them about Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim and Rabbi Akiva? So for that's the question that Rava poses to Rav Nachman. Now, we just have a sidebar. It has nothing to do with our sugya, but it's the end of the Tosefta. So here, the Gemara, just as the last piece of the Tosefta, it's a Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, which is a Pigul V'Notar V'Tamei. Pigul notar are problems within kodoshim. Pigul is where they had the wrong machshava when they were doing the korban. Venotar is leftovers from the korban past the time that you're allowed to eat it. Ve'tamei, something that became tamei. Kodoshim that became tamei. Beit Shammai omrim ein nisrafim ke'achat. You cannot burn them together. Or Beit Hillel omrim nisrafim ke'achat. They can be burnt together. Now, over here, you have something that is completely tahor, pigul venotar, which are completely tahor. They happen to be asurin, but they're completely tahor. And you burn it together with something that is tamei, kodoshim that are tamei. Now, midrabanan, the pigul notar, this is always the end of the mesechta. It's the last daf in the mesechta. The Gemara there discusses that pigul venotar, the chachamim were gozer, that the kohanim who came into contact with pigul notar, their hands would become tamei. They become tamei. There, the Gemara talks about it being a knas. It was a fine. It was a punishment for the Kohanim. There, the Gemara discusses whether it was because chashtei kuna, because they were worried about the Kohanim making things pigul. So in order to prevent them from doing that, they made their hands tamei when they came into contact with it so that it would penalize them, because if they were tamei, they couldn't eat from the kodoshim. Or it's because of atzlei kuna, because the Kohanim were lazy and they didn't finish up the kodoshim in time. Since they finished up in time, that's why we made the Yadayim Tameim, so that they would have a repercussion to not finishing the Kodeshim in time. But what you have here is Tumah Drabanan together with Tumah De'oraita. And Beit Shammai says, Ein Nisrafim Kehat, you may not burn them together. Whereas Beit Hillel allows you to burn them together. That's the end of the Tosefta. The Gemara will come back to that a little later. Nothing to do with our case. Now, V'isakadat Cho Rabbi Meir Mitiv Rabbi Yoshua Kamar. If you think Rabbi Meir learning his din out of Rabbi Yoshua, Amai Mahadalei Rabbi Yossi Mit Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Then why is Rabbi Yossi responding to him from something from Chanina Skana Kohanim? They're talking apples and oranges. So Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman responds to Rav and says, Rabbi Yossi Lavadate. Rabbi Yossi didn't know where Rabbi Meir was getting it from. Rabbi Yossi assumed that Rabbi Meir was learning this out of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim and Rabbi Akiva. That's where he got it from. And then Rabbi Meir responds to him and says, Ana mid Rabbi Yeshua kamina. No, you got it all wrong. We had this whole conversation. I mean, first Rabbi Yossi questions Rabbi Meir in the Tosefta and says, that's wrong. You know, you can't extrapolate from Chanina Skana Kohanim. You can't extrapolate from Rabbi Akiva. You know, Rabbi Meir says back to him, you're right. I'm not trying to extrapolate from them. I'm trying to learn my din out of Rabbi Yoshua. And then Rabbi Yossi responds to him and says, Vafilu Rabbi Yoshua, nami einehi mi'amida. If you're learning from Yeshua, Rabbi Yoshua, that's also not a correct extrapolation. First of all, that would help us explain why we have Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua mentioned our Mishnah, as well as why the Tosefta is talking about Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim and Rabbi Akiva. I mean that there's a multifaceted dialogue here, which is first Rabbi Meir says, Mi divrehem lamadnu, it makes that statement. And then Rabbi Yossi responds to him and says, you can't learn that out of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. You can't learn that out of Rabbi Akiva. That's the Tosefta. Rabbi Meir comes back to him and says, No, I'm not learning from them. I'm learning from Rabbi Yoshua. And that's where Rabbi Yossi responds, and our Mishnah says that Rabbi Elez and Rabbi Yeshua don't agree with that. They have something else. This is where they agree. So that would explain the Mishnah as the second leg of that conversation. So, Daha, Moda Rabbi Elez and Rabbi Yeshua, because where do Rabbi Elez and Rabbi Yeshua agree? Sohrev Zubifne Atzma, Vizubifne Atzma. You have to burn them separately. Tahor, Tameh, you got to burn them separately. So Mar says, why isn't Rabbi Meir's extrapolation from Rabbi Yeshua a great extrapolation? Rabbi Yeshua said in the case of the Gat, you're allowed to be mitameh the Trumato Rabbi Adayim, because the inevitable end of that Trumah is to become Tameh. So too over here. Why can't you do the same thing? The Chametz is going to make it a sur inevitably, so why not allow you to burn the Trumah Tameh and Torah together? So the Gemara says, Mido. Why isn't Rabbi Meir's position a good position where he's extrapolating from Rabbi Yeshua? It's the exact same case. So my answer is Shani Hotom, Dika Hefseit Chulin. There is a difference in the case. In the case of the Gat, when you go and be Mitamei the Trumah Tameah, there's a benefit from that. The benefit from that is that you're protecting the Chulin down below. So you're actively being Mitamei the Trumah. Yes, it's inevitably become Tumeah, and we allow you to intervene and do it biyadayim in order to protect the chulin down below. In our case over here, by Chametz, you're burning it going into Pesach. What benefit are you creating by burning the Trumah Tumeah and Trumah Tahorah together? Why are we going to allow you to actively be Mitameh the Trumah if there's no benefit here? There's no monetary benefit. There's no protection of anything that's here. So how could you extrapolate the cases? So Mati Lev Rav Yirmiyah. Masnita Nami Ika Hefsei Deitzim. Our Mishnah also has a case. The benefit here is that you don't have to make two pyres. You only have to make one chametz burning pile so that you can put the Trumah Tameah and Tahorah together on the same pile. You don't have to collect wood to burn the Tameah alone and to burn the Tahorah alone. You could have a joint fire. Imagine that. Everybody would burn their chametz together in one place on Pesach. Not everybody has to have their individual fire. So here, the Mishnah says that you have a Hefseid Eitzim. So if you're protecting for Hefseid Eitzim, that's similar to the Hefseid Chulin. So one of the elders over there answered, wait a minute, those two, that's not comparable. The Hefseid Meruba Chashashu. The Hefseid Mu'at Lo Chashashu. There's a big difference. When you're protecting the Chulin over there, that's a major loss that you would have. If the Trumat Me'ah falls down into the Chulin, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose all of that Chulin down below. That's a significant loss. On the other hand, by the wood, it's only a minor loss. It's a minor inconvenience to have to make two pyres versus making one big pyre for the Truma. And therefore, the two cases are not comparable. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi says the name of Rav Yochanan, Machloket B'sheish. The Machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is only in the sixth hour. Aval B'sheva, once you hit the seventh hour, Divrei HaKol Sorfim. Everybody agrees that you burn it. What's the difference between the sixth hour and the seventh hour. In the seventh hour, everything becomes asur min haTorah. So if everything's asur min haTorah, then even Rabbi Yossi agrees that you can burn Trumat Tmeah and Trumat Tehorah together. Because you've reached a threshold where everything is completely asur min haTorah, and we can burn it. You making the Trumat Tmeah, Tehorah, none of that matters anymore. Everything's asur min haTorah. The question, the point of machlok between them is in the sixth hour. In the sixth hour where this Trumah Tehorah is only Asur Midirabanan. It's not Asur Midirabanan, it's only Asur Midirabanan. So now that's my question. If something is Asur Midirabanan and inevitably will become Asur Midiraita, do I say then you can put the Trumah Tehorah together with the Tmeah and burn it because the inevitable outcome is going to be Asur? Or, as Rabbi Yossi says, no. Right now we're only talking about an Isur Dirabanan. If an Isur Dirabanan with Tumah, which is Deoraita, we're not going to allow you to combine those two issues. Once you reach the seventh hour, yes, then we'll allow you to combine them. So that's the statement that we have from Yochanan. Amarle Rabbi Zeir Ravasi. Rabbi Zeir then says to Ravasi, Neima Kasavar Rabbi Yochanan. From this you must conclude, you know how Rabbi Yochanan approaches our Mishnah? Matnitan Ba'ava Tumah Deoraita, Vlada Tumah Dirabanan. You know who's the author of that position that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf? That our Mishnah Zohar made a case in Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim where it's an Avatuma Mina Torah, but the other Basar is only Tamei Midra Banan. That is Rabbi Yochanan's position. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position. That we're really talking about Tamei Midoraita and Tahor Midoraita. It's Tamei Midra Banan, but it's Tahor Midoraita, and Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim allows you to mix them together. Umaymi Divrehem. And if you set up the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim that way, then when Rabbi Meir says Midivrehem, who's he speaking about? Midivre Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. That's where he gets it from. Amalei in. That is correct. That is the position of Yochanan. And we know this from Rabbi Yochanan's position based on what Rashi says, because he says Dafka Shesh at the sixth hour. Because according to Rabbi Meir, if he's doing this B'shitat Rabbi Chanina, then I understand why the sixth hour is different than the fourth or the fifth hour. The sixth hour involves an Isur Dirabanan. That Isur Dirabanan can then correlate with the Isur Tumah Dirabanan. And that's why Rabbi Meir says that you burn it in the sixth hour, the Trumat Torah with the Trumat Meah, because I have Trumat Tmeah, which is Tmeah Midoraita, needs to be burnt anyway. And I have Trumat Torah, now it has an Isur Dirabanan associated with it because it's after Shesh Shaot. And that's why he specifically says Shesh Shaot, and not simply that it's Holech Liibud, that it's going to be destroyed in the end anyway, so why not burn it? Because if that was the case, Rashi says, then he could even hold like Rabbi Yoshua, and he could have said the fourth hour, the fifth hour, any of those hours, because it's Holech Liibud, therefore he allows you to burn it. And that would be with Shita at Rabbi Yoshua. But what the Gemara is saying here is because Rabbi Yochanan says only in the 6 hours are permissible, and then in the seventh hour everybody agrees, that shows you that he's not basing this on Rabbi Yoshua, but rather he's basing this on Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim. Because Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim is particular, it has to have an Isur Dirabanan or Tumah Dirabanan, and that's true in the sixth hour. Because Rabbi Yoshua simply has to have the fact that it's Holech Liibud, that's enough of a reason to burn it. And that would be true in the fourth hour, that would be true in the fifth hour as well. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan specifies the sixth hour shows you that Rabbi Yochanan believes that Rabbi Meir's position is premised on Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim and not on Rabbi Yoshua. Tosafot does not like Rashi's explanation for two reasons. One is he says that he could be saying the sixth hour as opposed to the seventh hour where everybody agrees. That's number one. Number two is by the fourth and fifth hour, it's not Holech Liibud. People can eat it. People can still utilize it. So it doesn't have a din of Holech Liibud. So rather, Venir Liri, the Dayik. How do we know that Rabbi Yochanan thinks this way? Is Midkamar of Obazayin Divrei Kol Sorfim. It's from the fact that he says everyone agrees in the seventh hour that you're Sorif. Vimi Divrei Rabbi Yoshua Kamar. If it's all premised on the position of Rabbi Yoshua, then how do you know in the seventh hour Rabbi Yossi agrees that you can burn it? If Rabbi Meir is simply learning this out of Rabbi Yoshua, then, from Rabbi Yoshua, I wouldn't know that Rabbi Yossi also agrees by Dinei Doraita, not by Dinei Dirabanan. But if I say that the source is Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, then just like Rabbi Meir says Isur and Tumah can be interchanged over here, so too Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't disagree on that point. He thinks they can be interchanged as well, just a question of what's being interchanged. But according to Rabbi Meir, it's a Din Dirabanan with a Din Doraita, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a Din Doraita, Din Doraita. So Rabbi Yossi then will agree in the seventh hour when it's Doraita, Doraita, that matches up Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. But where it's the sixth hour, where it's Din Dirabanan, Din Doraita, and it doesn't match up, then we won't say that. Rabbi Meir, who thinks that by Mashkim, it's all Dirabanan, then he thinks Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim is talking about Dirabanan, therefore he has Dirabanan Doraita by Tumah. He'll do the same thing by Doraita Tumah and Dirabanan Yisur. And that's how we know that Rabbi Yochanan must think that Rabbi Hanina's Kohanim holds this way, because otherwise we would never get to the point where we knew that Rabbi Yossi says that the seventh hour is Asur, because he would not learn it out of Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yossi says about Rabbi Yoshua that's Hefseid Chulin. That's the only reason he permitted it by the Gat. But over here, we don't have that din of Hefseid Chulin, so why does the seventh hour change from the sixth hour? That same reasoning will still apply. And if that's the case, you couldn't prove anything about Rabbi Yossi's Shita. The fact that he says that Rabbi Yossi believes in the seventh hour, you burn it, must mean that it's all premised on Rabbi Hanina's Kan HaKohanim. So now basically what we have is a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to how to explain the Mishnah. The two different ways that we have explained the Mishnah that we started with in today's daf, we had Reish Lakish's opinion. The previous or the end of yesterday's daf, that is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Itmar Nami. And now we have that explicitly. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Matnitan Baba Tuma Doraita, Velada Tuma Dirabanan. My divrehem, mi divrei Rabbi Hanina, Skan HaKohanim. And then the last part of what Rabbi Yochanan says is, Umachloket b'sheish, Abasheva divrei akol sofrim, that their machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir is only in the sixth hour. But once you reach the seventh hour, everybody agrees that you're Sereif. So Rabbi says, Lema Mesayale. Let us say that the end of the Tosefta supports Rabbi Yochanan's position over here, that we differentiate between the sixth hour and the seventh hour, because we have the position or the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Hapigul v'notar v'atameh. Beit Shammai umrim, ein nisrafim ke'achat, they cannot be burnt altogether. Beit Hillel umrim, nisrafim ke'achat, you can burn them together. Here you have it, that we're burning something, tahor min haTorah, that's pigul and notar, and something that is tamei min haTorah, which is kodoshim. And here Beit Hillel says it, and here you have pigul notar v'tamei, pigul notar asurim midoraita, tamei is tamei midoraita, and we allow you to mix them together. So too over here, the gabe sheva sha'ot, it should be the same thing. We have an Isur Doraita with Tuma Doraita. So we take the Truma Tmeya Doraita with the Truma Tehora that has an Isur Doraita to it and mix them together. That should be no different than the case of Pigul Notar and Tamei, where you have an Isur Doraita of Pigul and Notar that have to be destroyed. And you have Tuma in Kodoshim, which is Doraita and has to be destroyed, and we allow you to mix them together. So therefore we should be able to say the same thing over here by the seventh hour, that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are going to agree, like Beit Hillel says by Pigul Notar and Tamei, that once you hit the seventh hour, you can burn the Truma Tmeha and the Truma Tehora together. Because those two cases are very similar. You have a Tuma Doraita with an Iser Doraita, and Rabbi Hillel lets you burn them together. So here too, by the Chametz, we should allow you to burn them together. And Rabbi Yossi agrees, he's going to have to agree. It's Beit Hillel making this statement. Nobody disagrees with that. Marzeh Shani Hotom. That case of Pigul Notar and Tamei is a little different. Dilehu Tuma Midrabanan. Because over there, even the Pigul and Notar are at least Tamei Midrabanan. They're not Tahor Legamre. Our case over here in the Mishnah is a case where it's Trumat Hora Legamre and Trumat Meya. So in that case, maybe Rabbi Yossi would not say that you could mix them together. Or maybe Rabbi Tillel would not extrapolate his statement and say that. Because Rabbi Tillel only says it when you have Trumat Rabanan together with Trumat Horaita in the seventh hour. He lets you burn them together. But if it was completely Tahor, who says he would say that? So now the Gemara says, all right, Lema Messiah, let's have a proof from this case, which is a patch ipsha. You have bread that's going bad. It became moldy. It's going bad. V'nifsala melechol le'adam. It was no longer edible. It was no longer ra'oi for human consumption. V'akelev yechol le'achla. And a dog could eat it. Now this is a principle within Tuma. An object that a dog would not eat is not considered to be ochel. It's not considered to be food. And therefore, it's not mekabel tumat ochlim. But that's only if you're starting from ground zero. If I tell you I have a piece of food here, and is it going to become tamei or not? And it's only it's dog food. It's basically dog food. Dog food will not become tamei, will not have tumat ochlim. But if something was once fit for human consumption, and then it deteriorated to the point now where it's only good for a dog to consume, it's dog food now, that retains its tuma ad shenifsal me'achilat kelev, until even a dog wouldn't eat it. Because at one point it was fit for human consumption, it retains its ability, or it retains its tumat ochlim, until it's no longer fit for a dog's consumption. So over here I have this bread that went bad. Okay, it was fit for human consumption. Now it's only fit for a dog to eat. Mitama tumat ochlim b'kabeitza. It still has the ability to have tumat ochlim b'kabeitza. V'nisrefet imat meya b'pesach. And it's burnt together with something that is tmeya on Pesach. So over there, you have something that's completely Tehora, and you're burning it together with something that is Tmeya on Pesach. So this should be a proof to where Rabbi Yochanan says that everybody agrees once you hit the seventh hour, you can put Tuma and Tahara together and burn them. Because here you have Pachi Psha, which is a case of Tehora, together with something that is Tmeya. I said shiny hotam. That's different over there, because Pach Ipsha is the Afra Ba'almahu. That Pach Ipsha is like dirt. It's like dust of the earth. What does that mean? It still has a shame of tomato chlim because it once was fit for human consumption. But when you look at the object right now, it's not ochel. It's not real ochel. It's junk. It's dog food. Dog food. You want to be metame dog food, that we're going to have less issues with. But to say that when you're talking about Truma Tehora, which is fit for human consumption, to put it together with Truma Tmeya, that we're not going to allow. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, Mai Mode. So then, the weakness in Rabbi Yochanan's position is, what is the end of our Mishnah speaking about? The end of our Mishnah talks about Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yoshua, which have nothing to do with the previous part of the Mishnah. So if you look, again, we have two approaches now to the Mishnah, Rish Lakish's approach and Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Rish Lakish's approach, which is that we're talking about it's all Doraita level, that works well instead of Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. The difficulty in his pshat is then, what is Rabbi Meir saying, Midivrehem Lamanu? And he jumps over to get to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So that is a little bit of a disconnect in the Mishnah, but he does that. But it is supported by the latter piece of the Mishnah, which says, when Rabbi Yossi responds to him, he brings in Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about Doraita Drabbanan, that's Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. Midivrehem of Rabbi Meir is referencing Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. That fits nicely. But then Rabbi Yossi's response to Rabbi Meir doesn't fit so well, because where did Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar come into the picture? Well, how come they showed up here all of a sudden? The Gemara says, "Hachi kamalei Rabbi Yossi the Rabbi Meir." This is Rabbi Yossi saying to Rabbi Meir, "Afilu the Rabbi Yoshua de Mekil." Even according to Rabbi Yoshua, who we know is Mekil in Truma in other places, ki Mekil b'tluyau b'tmeya. He's only willing to be Mekil when it's talking about you have one thing that's a fake and one thing that is Tmeya. Avol b'Torah b'tmeya. If you have something that's completely Tahor together with something that's Tmeya, lo, that's not the case. The Gemara says, "Ihachi." If that's the case, why is Rabbi Yossi saying back to Rabbi Meir, Einahi min amida? It's not a good comparison. What do you mean it's not a good comparison? It's an excellent comparison. Rabbi Meir is extrapolating from Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. Chanina Skanakonim is talking about something that's Tamei Doraita and Tahor Doraita. And Rabbi Meir extrapolates that to Truma. That's a beautiful extrapolation. How could Rabbi Yossi come along and say, Einahi min amida? Mida o midahi? It's a good comparison. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Meir says, this is what the case is here. Hacha bebasar shnitma bimashkim shnitmu machmat sheretz. Rabbi Yirmiya now reinvents the whole Mishnah, goes back to the drawing board. So we had the position of Reish Lakish, position of Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yirmiya introduces us to a new approach to the Mishnah, a new approach to explaining Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, and also a new approach to understanding Rabbi Meir's position and Rabbi Yossi's response to him in the Mishnah. And that is that the case is as such. You have the avatuma. You have the avatuma that comes into contact with basar. It makes it into a rishon tuma. In addition to that, you also have basar that was tamei. How did it become tamei? And that's what Rabbi Meir explains. That basar shnitma b'mashkim, shnitmeu b'machmat sheretz. A sheretz is an avatuma. It touches mashkim. The mashkim, the liquids, become a rishon tuma. They are rishon tuma. They come into contact with the basar. It makes it into a sheni tuma. So now you have something that's a Rishon Tuma Sheni Tuma. That's still problematic because we already explained that that doesn't work so well in the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. So Rashi points out here that when Rabbi Yirmiya says Vlada Tuma, he doesn't literally mean Rishon. He means there's another stage in here somewhere along the way that gets it down to Yishlishi Tuma. But the key element of his shot over here is that there are mashkim in the middle. There's liquids in the middle. Because liquids in the middle are going to present us with an issue that's going to carry us through a number of dapim here, which is Ve'azde Rabbi Meir l'tamei, Rabbi Yossi l'tamei. Machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi revolves around this issue of the mashkim. Rabbi Meir l'tamei, Rabbi Meir's l'shitado d'amar, tumat mashkim l'tamei acherim d'rabanan. That mashkim min haTorah, liquids min haTorah can accept tuma, but they cannot convey tuma. Min haTorah, liquids do not convey tuma. Rabbi Yossi l'tamei, Rabbi Yossi's l'shitado d'amar, tumat mashkim l'tamei acherim d'oraito. That not only can mashkim, not only can liquids accept tuma, but they can also convey tuma min haTorah. And so that is what actually contributes to their difference in opinion. So let's look at the flow in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir and the flow in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim says, I have this basar that's tamei with an avatuma. It's a rishon tuma min haTorah. Then I have this other basar that came from a sheretz to a liquid to an ochel. Well, that means that I'm talking about something according to Rabbi Meir that's only tamei dirabanan. It's only Tamei D'Rabbanan because Mashkim got in the middle. Mashkim accept Tuma. They do not invade Tuma. That means that this Basar that we're talking about here, Mina Torah, is completely Tahor. And yet, Rabbi Chanina Skanagwanim says, burn them together. So Rabbi Meir says, I'll extrapolate that and say, Tuma Torah, Tuma Tumah, I can burn them together. And that is a good extrapolation. Because for Rabbi Chanina Skanagwanim, you have a case where he has Tuma Doraita coming together with Tuma Derabanan. Which means that Midoraita, you have one item that's Tamei. Midrabanan, the other item is Tamei, but Midoraita, it's completely Tahor. And same thing here, I'll take the Chuma here. The Chuma that is Tamei, that's Tamei Min HaTorah. Chuma that's Tehorah Min HaTorah. But Midrabanan, since we've entered into the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, that makes it that we are now at a point where there's an Iser Drabanan on that Chuma Tehorah. So Rabbi Meir equates the two and says, I have Tuma Doraita with an Isur Drabanan on that Tumat Torah, which inevitably are going to end up being Nisraf, because you're going to hit the point of De'oraita in the seventh hour, which is similar to the Basar that is Tamei Midoraita, and the Basar that is Tamei Midirabanan. Both of them eventually have to be destroyed, eliminated. We just accelerate it by putting them together. So over here, we'll accelerate the Truma Tohurah to be burnt with the Truma Tameah because there's an Iser Drabanan. So the key element of Rabbi Meir Shito is that he equates the Iser Drabanan of Chametz with regards to the Truma Tohurah with the Tuma Drabanan that is associated with the Basar Kodesh. And therefore he says that what Rabbi Chanina says, I can extrapolate to the din of Chametz. Rabbi Yossi says, no, ain't no min amida. You can't extrapolate like that. Why can't you extrapolate like that? Because Rabbi Yossi believes Mashkim and only accept Tuma Midoraita, they convey Tuma Midoraita. That means that the Basar of Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim is a Rishon Tuma mixed together with something that is Tamei Min HaTorah. The second piece of meat is Tamei Min HaTorah, whether it's a Sheni or Shlishi, most likely a Shlishi the Tuma, and you're allowed to put them together. But that's still Tamei and Tamei. How can you extrapolate from that to Truma? And that's exactly what contributes to this machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, is because their difference in understanding how mashkim work, min HaTorah, affects how they see what Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim said. And each one of them, it upholds their position. Titania, we have a braita. Safek mashkim li tamei. If you have a safek and a doubt about mashkim, about liquids, as to whether they were mikabel tuma, they're tamei. Because min HaTorah, they are mekabel tuma. That means we're now dealing with a safek de'oraita. Safek min HaTorah goes l'chumra. The tamei acherim, when it comes to whether we have a safek, if they convey tuma something else, tahor. In that case, it's tahor. Tivi Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir the Shitoto. Because why is it tahor? Because that's a safek de'rabanan. And safek de'rabanan is the kula. V'chein haya Rabbi Lazar Omer kidvarav. And Rabbi Lazar supported that position. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, the kol tamei. Doesn't matter whether it's the acceptance of Tuma or the conveyance of Tuma, both of those cases, if you have a Safek, it's Tamei. Because, Rabbi Yehuda, both of those issues are the Oraita issues, are Torah issues. So if I have a Safek, the Oraita, I go to Chumra in the acceptance of Tuma, and I go to Chumra in the conveyance of Tuma. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Lochlim, Tmeim, Lekelim, Tehorim. They actually bifurcate the din over here and say, well, it depends. In terms of liquids, if we're talking about liquids going into contact with Ochlim, liquids of Kodim is Minatorah. Minatorah, liquids can convey Tuma to Ochlim. On the other hand, Minatorah, liquids cannot convey Tuma to Kelim. And therefore, if I have a Safek about the conveyance of Tuma from a liquid to an Ochel, then I'm going to go to Chumra and say it's Tameh. Whereas if I have a Safek about the conveyance of Tuma from a liquid to a Keli, that's only Midrabanan, and therefore it's a Safek Drabanan, it'll go to Kula and we'll say that it is Tahor. Okay, now, with that, we're going to conclude. The only thing we have to explain, really, is where is this difference of opinion arise between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi about Mashkim. And that same is true with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi over here. So this is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Their machloket revolves around the pasuk, which says, Mikol ha'ochel, asher ye'achel, asher yavo alav mayim yitma. Any food item that you can eat that has water that comes onto it, or a liquid that comes onto it, that's what we call Hechsher the Kabul Tuma, Yitma. It can be Mekabul Tuma, it can be Tameh. Then the Pasuk continues and concludes, V'chol Mashkeh, Asher Yishateh. Any liquid which you drink, V'chol Kli, inside of a Kli, or comes to contact with Kli, Yitma. Yitma means that it will accept Tuma. So everybody agrees, Min HaTorah, it's clear here the Torah says Yitma, that liquids can be Mekabul Tuma. The only question is, the word there, Yitma, if it didn't have any nikudot on it, You could read the word as yitma, or you could read it as yitame. So if you read it that way, the question is that a limud or not a limud? And that's the machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says that the pasuk says yitma, that it becomes tame, fine. Yitame, that it will cause other things to be tame, that's not mentioned in the pasuk. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, the pasuk says yitma, that's how it's read, but we have what's called em la misoret. If you have what the Masorah is the way it's written. The way it's written in the Torah could easily be read yitame. And so yitame would be that it conveys tuma as well. And that's their machloket here. Whether that pasuk of mechol mashkeh asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma, is it simply only yitma or is it also yitame? And that machloket will explain their positions over here with regards to mashkim. And now, based on what Rabbi Yirmiyah is explaining, that Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim's case is a case with mashkim involved in it. So now we understand the difference in their opinions between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, and we understand why Rabbi Meir extrapolated from Hanina Sgan HaKohanim, whereas why Rabbi Yossi doesn't think that that's a good extrapolation. The only thing that we have to leave off with is something that Rashi mentions over here that's important, which is that on yesterday's daf we had a machloket about the ability of ochel, of food items, to pass tuma from one to the next. And there we said that, according to Abaye and Rav Adar Ba'avo, that can happen midoraita, because they both believe that kodoshim can convey tuma from one item to the other midoraita. On the other hand, Ravina Bishmei Derova said that no ochel can convey tuma to another ochel, even midoraita. So that would then relegate the case here back to a level dirabanan. And if that's the case, you can't prove anything from here to Trumat Torah and Trumat Tmeah. And that's what Rashi says over here, that's obvious here that Rabbi Yirmiyah does not subscribe to that position of Ravina Amar Rava. He can't say that. He has to agree that Ochel can be Metame Ochel Midoraita. If it's only Midorabanan, you're back to square one, which is that you're only talking about a case Dirabanan in the Mishnah, and we want it to be a case Deoraita. And so that Rashi just makes that note, that if you're going to make it on a level Deoraita, and you want to keep it to be a level Deoraita, then you cannot subscribe to that position of Ravina Amar Rava, that Ochel is not Metame Ochel Min HaTorah whatsoever. You have to either hold like Rabbi or Rav Bravo, who have exception for Kodoshim, where Ochel is Metame Ochel. Okay, we'll stop over here.